Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Samach. We left off on daf Nun Tesam Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page in daf Nun Tesam Beis. Today's shiur is once again, and I think this is the final shiur sponsored for now by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, and this is sponsored again with Zechusra for Shlema, for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya, and Lezecha Nishmas, Chaim Naftali Ben Yaakov Shlomo, and Devorah Shira Chaya Bas Yaakov Leib. And we certainly thank Avishai and Elisheva for all of the sponsorships throughout the past several months, and the learning that we've done should be an aliyah for the neshama of Avishai's father, of Chaim Naftali Ben Yaakov Shlomo, whose shloshim is tomorrow. We are holding on again, three lines from the bottom of the page on daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to first start with a story where a spigot breaks off a barrel of wine, and a guy just jumps up and sticks his finger in the spigot to hold the wine back from all falling out. So now, what's the status of all of the wine in that barrel? Then the Gemara is going to go on to discuss what happens when a guy pours wine from his kli into a kli that's being held by a Jew, or the reverse, the guy's holding a kli, the Jew pours wine into it. Or the Gemara is going to discuss, a guy is carrying a barrel of wine, and a Jew is walking behind him, and he sees him carrying the wine. Doesn't look like he's up to any funny business, doesn't look like he's up to any nisuch. What's the status of the wine? Then we discuss what happens if a guy helps in the wine press where they, instead of crushing the grapes with their feet, they use a beam to crush down on the grapes. Is that going to aser the yayin? You know, first we have to, of course, remember what we said about when the guy is in the wine press where he's crushing with his feet. But then the next step is, okay, what if it's another step removed that he's just helping crush down with a beam? What happens if a guy holds a broken barrel together? A barrel breaks, it looks like it's falling apart, so he just hugs the barrel or holds the barrel down to hold it together. Does that change the status of the wine? What happens if there is a guy standing in a gas, in a wine press, and there's a little bit of wine in the wine press? How do we kasher out that wine press? So that's going to take us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. And the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to begin a series of Mishnayos that discuss a Nachri who is alone with a wine that belongs to a Jew. And, there was a case where the guy has some connection to the wine, but not to the house. Some connection to the house, but not the wine. To the wine and the house, neither the wine nor the house. Our Mishnah is going to discuss the case where he has some sheichus with the wine, but no sheichus with the bayis. And we're also going to mention a number of other cases in the Mishnah where he comes in contact with the wine. For example, he falls into the wine. So the Gemara is going to distinguish does he die in there or does he come out alive? Maybe that would make a difference in terms of the status of the wine. Or the case we've already discussed where he measures the wine with a stick, or he takes a barrel and he throws it in anger into the wine. So what's the status of all of that wine? So in Be'ez Hashem, the Gemara, we're going to discuss each of those cases very briefly, and hopefully we'll get all the way to the Mishnah on the very top of Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. So let's begin again, three lines from the bottom of the page. Ha'icha visa d'chamer, there was a barrel of wine. The ishtaka labarza, the barza, the spigot, the spout had fallen off of the barrel, and the wine was just going to start come gushing out. It was going to start pouring out, and that would be a tremendous loss. So asa ovid chavim idri, and ovid chavim came and he jumped up. He was the first to respond. Anach yadei ilavei. So what does he do? He put his hand right by the hole to stop the wine from pouring out. Amra Papa called the Ahade Barza Chamra Asr. Any wine that flows right near the hole is Asr, and the way Rashi understands, Asr Bishtiya, that it's Asr to drink, the way Rashi understands, because he's not being Meshach Sheikh, but it's not Asr Ba'ana'a, it's Mutter Ba'ana'a. The guy is not able to be Meshach Sheikh because the hole is very small, so he sticks his finger in, and that's all he can do, just hold his finger in place. He's not able to really move anything around. The Rashba quotes the same explanation from Rabbeinu Chananel. When we say Asr Bishtiya, however, the Rush and the Ravid explain that no, it's Asr even Ba'ana'a. Why would it be Asr Ba'ana'a? After all, isn't the Metzius, like Rashi says, that it's a small hole and he's just holding the wine in place? The Rush explains, because when the Nekev opens up, the wine ultimately would all pour out of that hole. So when the guy puts his hand there to close up the hole, it's considered as if He's touching all of the wine. So asks the Rosh, yeah, but still, isn't he tarud batzalas hayayin? Isn't he busy enough trying to save the wine that he's not having, he doesn't have time to have kavana to be menasech? Just like we discussed, a guy who measures the wine, that it's mutar ba'anah, because we assume he's busy doing his job measuring, so we assume that he doesn't have time to be menasech. So the Rosh quotes from the Ravid that we're talking over here, where there are other Jews that are standing, there are Jews that other people who are Jewish who are standing there who are able to save the wine, and therefore the guy didn't have to be so tarud to save the wine. The fact that he jumped up and he decided to be the one to save the wine, so that causes us to be concerned. Why is he the one that's jumping to do something? Maybe because he wants to have kavana to be menasech. The Rosh rejects that explanation and he gives a different explanation. The Ritva also says that explanation of the Ravid is dachuk, because the Gemara doesn't mention anything about this, meaning about there being Jews standing around there. It just says the thing broke and the guy jumped in, and it doesn't say anything about Jewish people that otherwise could have done it. And he also gives another explanation, that since the guy kept his hand there for a very long time until they were able to replace the spigot, that's why we're choshesh. If it was a moment, you know, he sticks the measuring stick in and he pulls it out, he's tarud, he's not going to have kavara l'nasich, but he's standing there for an hour with his finger in the spigot to stop it from pouring out, then we're certainly going to be more concerned that perhaps there was time to have kavara to be menasich. So again, the guy sticks his finger in the spigot, Rav Papa says, all the kiluach of wine that's right next to the nekev is going to be aser b'shtia, but let's assume, like Rashi, mutter ba'na v'idach, and all the rest of the wine in the barrel, shari, is even mutter to drink, because the wine that's off to the sides is not considered, for some reason, according to Rashi, is not considered connected to the wine that's right where he is. That's right where his finger is. The Rosh writes that is a davar tema. Normally, when we talk in the halachos of iser v'heter, whenever you have a davar lach that's found in a kli with a large amount of liquid, we assume that it's all mixed together. To say that you have a davar lach and it's all in one large kli, and some of it is going to be mutter, some of it is going to be asr, as if they're two separate entities, very, very difficult. And therefore the Rosh explains, shari yayin mutter bahana, but it's still asr b'shtia. It can't be that it's mutter b'shtia. So that's now when we say shari yayin is mutter bahana, it doesn't mean that you could be nana from it on its own, because it is mixed in with the wine that's asabana. What it means is that you have to sell the chavis, the Ran explains, you have to sell the chavis chutz midmei yayin esach sheba, and just not charge for the full amount of wine that's actually in the chavis. Now the Ravid raises the question, why is the rest, why are we matir the rest of the wine that's above the level of the hole and across from it? Isn't it gadur al habarza, meaning it's only not coming out because he's sticking his finger in, so shouldn't that be enough to consider it chibur, to be considered a single entity that's all connected? So the Ravid explains, since it could be that you could turn the barrel over on its side and not all that wine would come out, and the spout would then be on the top. So we view it as if you had done that, and therefore not all the wine is considered to be being saved by his sticking his finger in, just the wine in the immediate vicinity of where he stuck his finger in. The Ika da Amri, but then there's another version of what Rav Papa said, that Amar Rav Papa, da Ada Barza Chamra Asir, all the wine that's above the hole is Asr B'shtia, because all of that wine would pour out of the hole if not for the fact that he's holding it in. The Idach, but the rest of the wine that's in the barrel, shari, that's mutter, even b'shtia. That's how the Tosas and the Ran and Mukhe Yosef explain Shitas Rashi over here, that whatever's below the level of the hole is mutter b'shtia. However, Tosas and the Rosh raise the question, how could it be that it's all mu'urav b'kli echad, and half of it's going to be aser, half of it is going to be mutter, even b'shtia? So like we said, they explain, shar kal yayin is mutter, Bahana'a, but it's still going to be Asr B'shtia. So that seems to be a fundamental machlokas Rishonim over here when we draw this contrast between some of the wine in the barrel, the other wine in the barrel. Is it a contrast between what is Mutar B'shtia and Asr B'shtia, or what is Mutar Bahana'a and Asr Bahana'a? Now, says the Gemara, Amrav Yemar Kitanai, these two deos in Rav Papa, that are tali in the machlokas Tanaim, meaning not these two deos in Rav Papa, but Rav Papa's chiddush is not agreed upon by all Tanaim. It's tali in a machlokas Tanaim, this chiddush of Rav Papa, to distinguish between some of the wine in the barrel and other wine in the barrel. There is a Mishnah in the second parak of Maseches Tvul Yom where the Mishnah tells us, Chavis Shenikva, you have a barrel that has, this is a Maseches Tvul Yom, so this is about Truma wine. It's not about Yayin Nesach. You have wine of Truma. Why is that a Maseches Tvul Yom? Because the Tvul Yom can passel Truma. Even though he already went to the mikveh, he's got to wait for Harav Shemesh, he's a Tvul Yom, he passels Truma. So you have a barrel that's full of Truma wine that has a hole in the barrel. Bein mipia, whether the hole is by the mouth of the barrel, bein mishuleha, or whether the hole is on the bottom of the barrel, bein mitzideha, or whether the hole is on the side of the barrel, the naga bo tvul yom, and the tvul yom touches the wine through that hole. A person is a tvul yom that had become tameh, had already gone to the mikvah, he's just waiting for Harav Shemesh, so the halacha is the truma in the barrel, tameya, is considered tameh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mipia umushuleha, that if the hole is by the mouth of the barrel or on the bottom of the barrel, then he agrees to the Tanakama that tameya, but mitzideha, if the hole is on the side of the barrel, tahora, then the truma is going to be tahora. Mikanu mikan, meaning that what's tahora? All the wine that's on the two sides of the nekev. Now the reason is because the wine on the sides is not considered connected to the rest of the wine in the barrel. That is like Shitas Rav Papa. However, the Chachamim, the Tanakama who disagrees and thinks that all of the wine is going to be Tameh, because you can't say that some of the wine in the barrel is Tar and other wine in the barrel is Tameh. It's all a single entity. It's all a single unit. So we have to view it all as if it's together. Okay, now the Gemara is going to explain a different halacha. Amar Rav Papa, but also Rav Papa is the one speaking. Amar Rav Papa, Ovid Kochavim Adana. Let's say you have an Ovid Kochavim that is pouring wine from a barrel, the Yisrael Akuva, and the Yisrael is holding the kli into which the Ovid Kochavim is pouring the wine. Chamra Asr, the wine is going to be Asr Bana because it was poured by an Ovid Kochavim. My timer, so what, that it was poured by an Ovid Kochavim? Ki ka'asi, because when the wine comes into the jug that the Jew is holding, mikoach ovid kochavim ka'asi, it's coming mikocho of the guy, so anything that comes mikocho of the guy is going to be asr. Rashi explains that the reason that the wine is asr even ba'na is because it's as if it's wine that the guy was mosaic, where we say lech lech hamrin nazira schar schar lekarmel l'sikrav, like we said before, that even if the guy just pours water into the wine in order to dilute it, we are extra machmir harchaka from yayin nesach. That's what we said on daf nun chesan beis. However, the Ritva says no, we're not going to aser ba'na mishum harchaka over here because the guy is osik b'malachto. He's busy doing his work of emptying the wine from the barrel, and the Yisrael is being makabalim in the kli. The koach of the guy is not going to aser it ba'na. In such a case, it's only going to aser b'shtia, and that's what the Rush quotes from Rabbeinu Tam as well. And he says, you know, he saw that in some of Rashi's perushim, because he says aser b'shtia. The Ravid and the Ra'a say like Rashi that it's aser bahana, but not mitamar chaka, rather it's mi'ikar adin. Because anything that comes mikocho shalagoi bikavana is going to be aser mi'ikar adin, and not just as a harchaka. So says the Gemara further. What if it's the reverse? Yisrael Adana va'ovid chav makuva. What if you have the Jew that's pouring the wine from the barrel and the guy is catching the wine in the jug? Chamra shari. Then the wine is going to be mutter even to drink, because in such a case, it's the koach of the Yisrael that's moving the wine. The guy isn't doing anything. We're not choshesh that the guy touches the wine in the jug. He's just sitting there holding the jug, trying to catch the wine, and the Yisrael sees the whole thing. So there's no reason to be choshesh that anything happened. The Jew is standing right there. V'imit sadit studi. But if the guy starts tilting the jug a little bit to one side, then aser. Then the wine becomes aser to drink. It becomes aser b'shtia. The reason for this, the Rishonim explain in several ways. Rashi explains in his first pshat that the kuva was full of wine, and when he leans it over to the side, meaning the jug that he's catching it with, when he leans it over to the side, rechoshesh, that maybe he touches the wine, and that's what makes the wine aser, because maybe he's going to be nogea shelo b'kavana, and that will aser the wine b'shtia. That's how the Ritva understands Shitas Rashi. Rashi then has another explanation that even if it wasn't absolutely full, the wine is going to be aser, because since he's shaking the wine b'kavana, it's like that's considered the koach of the guy b'kavana, and that's going to aser the wine b'shtia. So that is the second explanation of Rashi. Then you have the Ravid, who explains that the chavis is right by the edge of the kuva, and when the guy shakes the kuva a little bit, it has to be that he's causing a greater spilling of wine from the barrel to the kuva, so that wine turns out to have been poured from the koach of the guy, and therefore it's going to be aser afilu bahana'a. So what exactly the case is over here is not abundantly clear, but if something, in some way, the guy doesn't just sit there like, still holding the jug, if he does something, it's going to cause some concern of kocho or something of that nature, and that's going to aser the yayin. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if a guy is simply, he's a porter, he's just schlepping the wine from one place to another. Amrav Papa, hai ovid chavim de dari zika. You have a guy that's holding a flask of wine, the kazal Yisrael achore, and a Jew is walking behind him. Now, it's important, a zika is a flask, and it's tied at the top, that's how Rashi understands. And the Jew is walking right behind him, and he sees that the guy is not touching the wine, that it doesn't look like anything is going on. So malya, if the flask is full of wine, shari, then that wine is going to be mutter, delo mekarkesh, because nothing's happening to the wine. If it's totally full, he can't be shaking it up too much, he can't be moving around too much, there's no wiggle room inside the flask. But chasira, if it's not absolutely full, asir, then the wine is going to be asir to drink, and the reason for that is dilma mekarkesh, because we have to be choshesh that maybe he's going to be meshachshech his hand in the wine, because there's room for his hand in the jug of wine. Kuva, but if he's holding a jug, not a flask, malya, if it's full, then asir. Then it's going to be aser b'shtia, because dilma naga, we're afraid the guy touches the wine when he puts his hand by the edge of the jug. But if it's not full, chasera, shari, then the wine is going to be mutter, delo naga, because we don't have to worry that maybe he touched the wine when it's not full, because even though he's holding it by the edge, the wine doesn't reach all the way to the edge. Aye, what about the fact that if it's chaser, that he's mekarkesh, meaning then the wine is shaking around a little bit because it's chaser? Apparently, there's no concern of kirkush by an open kli. You see, the previous case was a flask that was tied closed at the top, so we're concerned that he's going to shake it up when it's closed. But over here, we're dealing with an open jug, and therefore, there's no concern that he's going to shake it around too much, because obviously, he doesn't want to lose wine. So if he shakes it up, wine could easily spill out. Rav Ashi Amar, Zika Bein Malia Bein Chasei Rashari Maitaima Ein Derech Nisuch Bekach, that if he's carrying a Zika, he's carrying a flask that's tied up at the top, whether it's full, whether it's not full, it's going to be mutter, the wine is going to be mutter, because that is not the normal Derech Nisuch. Tosfos explains it's not the derech to be menasich yayin in a kli while you're carrying it. That's what it means. It's not the derech nisuch. The Ramban explains that since it's tied up at the top, it's not the derech to be menasich something that you can't even see with your own eyes. Obviously, if he's being menasich, he's having some kavan level dezara, so it adds a certain gratification to the experience when you're able to see what you're doing. People wouldn't do it if they can't see what they're doing. And the Rimi Lunil says, no, ain't derech menasech unless you're able to do it be yado mamish. But if you're only being menasech al yidei davar acher, that's not really called nisuch. Okay, now the Gemara is going to discuss. You have a guy that's helping out in a wine press. So and it's not the typical wine press where they crush the grapes with the feet, but rather it's where they use a beam to press down on the grapes. So if you recall, back on Nun Hamad Beis, we had a brisa that initially told us the Chachamim or Matir to be Dorech Ima Ovid Chachamim Begas, that the Goy and the Jew together could be crushing the grapes in the wine press, and we're not concerned about Yayin Nesach, because it's not considered Yayin until it already falls down into the bar that catches all the wine. But then, Mishnah Achrona, the Chachamim came along and said, no, you're not allowed to be Dorech with an Ovid Chachamim in the Gas, because Rav Huna holds that as soon as the wine starts to pour out, starts to be nimshach from the gas down toward the bar, it already has the status of wine. It's already yayin nesach. So says the Gemara, Matzara Zayara, let's say you have a gas where they don't crush with their feet, rather they take a beam and they press the beam down. Rav Papa Shari Rav Papa is Matzar the wine if a guy was pressing the grapes in such a way. Rav Ashi, Vitem Rav Sim Barashi, Asar. So what's the machlokes? Says the Gemara, Bik Kocho, when the grapes are crushed with the koach of the guy that he himself pushes down on the beam that's pressing the wine, kuli amul pligi da aser. Everyone's going to say that the wine is aser b'shtia. Ki pligi b'koach kocho. The whole machlokas is where the grapes are being crushed by a secondary koach of the guy. The guy is megalgel the wheel that turns that then pushes the beam down, and that's what presses the wine. That's where Rav Papi says it's okay. Rav Ashi, Rav Simi Barashi say that it's aser when it's a secondary koach, when it's koach kocho. Ikeda army. Others say no. If it's a secondary koach, then everyone would say that it's a mutter. What would be the problem? Ki pligi bekocho. The whole machlokas is when it's the koach rishon that's actually doing it. You have similar discussions when it comes to making matzah, right? That has to be lishma. So you say koach kocho is so far removed that it's not called lishma. That was a part of the issue of machine matzah. In the original discussions of machine matzah, the issue was chametz, that they didn't trust the machines. Nowadays, you have people, there are briskers that are makbid to only eat machine matzah because they don't trust human beings. But the machines are more capable of keeping it from being chametz. Okay, havu uvdo b'koach kocho va'asar of Yaakov bin Arpakod. There was a maisa by a guy that crushed the grapes and it was with koach kocho, and Rav Yaakov bin Arpakod asered the yayin. So that tells us very clearly that the machlokas is b'koach kocho. Meaning if the machlokas was only b'kocho, then everyone would agree b'koach kocho. So if he asered it, it must be that the machlokas was by koach kocho. The Rishonim point out, Tosfos points out, and once you say koach kocho, so then koach kocho would be the same as well. That's what Tosfos points out, the Rambam, the Rashba. We only find the chiluk between kocho and koach kocho. We don't find the chiluk between koach kocho and koach kocho. Three, four kochos, all going to be aser. However, the Rosh and Rabbi Yeruchim say that Rashi is not sure whether there's a chiluk between shnei kochos and shlosha kochos, and the Rabbi Yeruchim says everyone would agree that koach revi'i is for sure mutter. You have a similar discussion in Poskim when it comes to klisheni on Shabbos, right? The Gemara says that klisheni is enu mevashel. So the Poskim discuss, except for kalei abishel, klisheni is able to be Kli Mevashel, that which is Kali Abishal. So many poskim are machmir, that not to make tea in a Kli Sheni, because it is considered, we're concerned that it is Kali Habishal. I think that's the way the majority of poskim assume. But then the question becomes, yeah, and what about a Kli Shlishi? When we say the Kli Sheni is able to be Mevashel Kali Abishal, does that mean a Kli Shlishi also? It means Kli Sheni is really not able to be Mevashel. So even things that aren't able to be Mevashel are able to be Mevashel things that are easily cooked, the Kali Abishal. So Kli Shlishi would be a problem also, Kli Revi'i also, as long as the water is still hot, that's the sheet of the Mishnah Berurah. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says in order to make tea on Shabbos, you need to make tea essence in order to, from before Shabbos, and just mix it together. But Ramesha and many other poskim hold, no, Kli Sheni is able to be Mevashel Kali Abishal, but Kli Shlishi, that's already so removed, right? A similar discussion. What happens when we say that something is far removed, and that and it's still problematic? Does that mean further removed is also problematic? Or do we assume that further removed is going to be mutter? Rav Shetlman told us, Rav Salvechik said that his grandfather used to make tea in the Kli Sheni. He yelled that tea was not Kalei Abishal, but he thought even Kli Sheni was mutter. It was a big chiddush. People generally don't do that. So I asked which grandfather. Both of them were very great Talmidei Chachamim. One of them is a little more famous than the other. It was Rav Elia Feinstein and Rav Chaim Salvechik. So Rav Elia Feinstein was... Salvechik's mother was a first cousin of Rav Moshe Feinstein, so it was part of the Feinstein family. And then there was Rav Chaim, so he said both of his grandfathers, they both made tea with all the brisker chumras. It's hard to imagine Rav Chaim made tea in the Kli Sheni on Shabbos. Okay, but we're not really talking about Bishul Shabbos over here. Ha'u Chavisa, there was a story of a barrel of wine. Da afke la orka. We just turned over to Amdei. Da afke la orka, where the barrel cracked along the length of the barrel. So idri ovidcham. We keep on using that lashon that he jumps up. He springs into action and chabka, and he hugs the barrel together so that the wine won't pour out. Shar yer Rafam Bar Papa. Rafam Bar Papa was matir that wine. The itema Rafunu Breidi of Yeshua lizbune ovidcham. And some say it was Rafunu Breidi of Yeshua that was matir to sell it to an ovidcham, meaning mutar ba. Because the guy was not meshachshech the wine, because even though he's holding it together and he's nogeya, he's touching the wine on all sides of the barrel, we can't compare that to being nogeya the wine with a kana, with a stick, which would aser pa'ana, because over there he's able to be meshachshech the wine with the stick. Over here he doesn't want to move too much. If he moves, he might, the whole thing might fall apart and might pour out all over the place. But nevertheless, it's aser b'shtia, it's only mutar ba'ana. So the Gemara explains, not always necessarily asur b'shtia, v'ani mili depaka l'arka. That's only if it cracks along the length of the barrel. Avalu pusya, but if it cracks along the width of the barrel, afilu b'shtia shari, then it's even going to be mutter to drink. My taima, maisa levena kavit, because all he's really doing is he's acting like a weight, he's acting like a brick, to just hold it down on top, from one on top of the other. He's not really holding it together. So therefore, it's considered like he's a brick that's placed on top of the barrel and just weighing it down, and that in that way is preventing the wine from falling out, so that wine is going to be mutter even b'shtia. And one final story. They found an Ovid Chavim standing in a gas, in a wine press that belonged to a Jew. There was a little bit of wine at the bottom of the wine press. Not a great deal of wine, but a little bit of wine at the bottom of the wine press. The Ravid says that this whole case has to be, the wine press is made out of wood and it's new. It was only used once or twice. And that's why we're going to see that we're going to require hadacha and niguv. But if it was an old wine press, you wouldn't need to do any sort of niguv, you wouldn't need to do any sort of drying. Hadacha alone, rinsing it out, would be enough. Because the assumption is that it would already be saturated with kosher wine, and whatever wine is there, you just need to rinse it off. But if it's brand new, so we assume that the wine could really get into the wood a little bit, and that's going to be also wine that's getting into the wood, so you need to do something to sort of absorb it out, to make sure that it doesn't... that it doesn't get absorbed in. But anyway, so you find this guy standing in the wine press. There's a little bit of wine on the floor over there. Amar Ravashi, i'ika tofeach lat piach. You have to see how much wine there is. If it's moist enough that it could turn something else moist, that to the sense that if a person touches it, he has the ability to transfer that moisture somewhere else by touching the wine, then bayi hadacha u bayi nikuv. You need to be madiach, you need to rinse it, and you need to dry it. What does that mean? You put ashes down to be menagev, and then you pour water in, and then ashes again, and you rub it, you scrub it down. The ilo, and if there's no, and if there's not even enough moisture to be topeach la'et piach, where you could transfer the moisture by touching the wine and moving it somewhere else, ba'adach bi'al nasagile, then it's good enough to just rinse it out. You're not going to need niguv be'efer. Now we move on to a new Mishnah. As we said, this is going to begin a series of Mishnayos where we discuss a guy that's alone with Yayin Shel Yisrael. What happens if you find that he was left alone with your wine, open, not a closed, sealed barrel, open barrel of wine? So there are four different possible situations where he has some connection to the wine, no connection to the house. Some connection to the house, no connection to the wine. A connection to both, a connection to neither. In our Mishnah today, we're going to discuss where he has some sort of shaychus with the wine, but no shaychus with the house. Ovid Chum Shemitza Omed, in a Jewish house, Bitsada Bor Shal Yayin, right next to a bor of Yayin that belongs to a Jew. Im Yeshlo Milva Alav, if the Ovid Chavim has a milva, meaning the Jew owes this guy money, then Asr. The wine is going to be Asr Ba'ana, because we have to be Choshesh that the guy touched the wine. Since the Jew owes him money, he's not afraid to touch the wine, he's not afraid to be Menasech. Because if the Jew were to ever challenge him and say, hey, how could you be Menasech my wine? He would say, well, you owe me money, give me the wine as the Chov that you owe me. But Ein Lo Milva Alav, if the guy has no connection to the wine, meaning he has no loan that the Jew owes him, there's no money that's owed by the Jew to the guy, then mutter, then it's mutter even to drink, because since he has no milva, he's afraid to touch the wine, he doesn't want to be accused of being a ganav. So wherever he's going to be nitfas kaganav, we assume that the wine is going to be mutter. The Mukhe Yosef explains that the guy is going to be afraid that if he's caught in the act, the Jew is going to demand that he pays for the nezek that he did to the wine. So he doesn't want to lose money over here. So if there's no milva love, then it's going to be mutter. Now the Mishnah says a different case. Nafal bar. What if a guy falls into a bar full of wine? Va'ala. And he comes out of that bar. Or medado bakana. Separate case. He measures the wine with a measuring stick to see how much wine is in the barrel. Hitiz esatira, or he takes a stick in order to kill a fly that's hitiz esatira bakana, that's right by the wine. So he smacks down on the wine in order to kill the fly. Oshaya matpiach al piachavis mutachas, or he's touching the bubbles that are bubbling up on the top of the wine in order to calm the bubbles, in order to make it to flatten it out. Bikol elu hayamai. So all these things actually happened. Va'amru yimacher. And in all the cases, the Chum said that the wine could be sold to a guy, meaning it's mutar ba'na, but it's asr b'shtia. You're not allowed to drink such wine. And all this obviously is only if he was not mishach sheikh biyado. If he's mishach sheikh biyado, it would be asr even ba'na. That's how the Ramban explains. Now the reason that it's mutar ba'na in all these cases that we mentioned, when he falls into the bar and he comes out, is because he touched shalom b'kavana. When he mixes it, when he measures it with the stick, there are two reasons. First of all, even though he touched it b'kavana, but his kavana was for the sake of medida, not for the sake of nisuch. And also, second reason, he didn't actually touch directly. He didn't touch the wine directly. He only touched the wine with the stick. When he was trying to take off the bubbles that bubbled up on top of the wine, that's ein derech nisuch b'kach. And that's why it's going to be mutter. So even though we're putting it all together as one statement, you know, that in all these cases it's mutter ba'na, but asr b'shtia, they're all for different reasons. But in all these cases, Tanna Kamma says that it's mutter ba'na, that the chacham were matir ba'na, but they asr b'shtia. Rabbi Shimon matir, and Rabbi Shimon said you're even allowed to be shosa. It's even mutter b'shtia in these cases. Not also chavis zraka b'chamaso. What if the guy takes the barrel and he throws a barrel in anger, labar, into a bar of wine? Zehayamaisa v'chshiru. Also, it was an actual shayla halach lemaisa that happened, and the chamim allowed even drinking the wine because the zrika is not gonna aser. It's not gonna make the wine yayin nesach. Okay, now says the Gemara. Let's analyze the cases in the Mishnah. Amar Shmuel. This din that we said in the Mishnah, that a guy is next to the bar of Yayin, that if the guy has a milva al Yisrael, the wine is going to be aser. So Shmuel says, it's not stami as a milva that the Jew owes him money. There has to be some connection to the wine, that the Yisrael is meshabed that wine to be able to collect the chov from. So the guy has a smichas das that he's able to collect from that wine, and that's why he's not afraid to touch it. But if this wine has no shaychus to the chov, the Jew borrowed $5 from him yesterday, and it's got nothing to do with this wine, then the fact that there's a loan makes no difference. The wine is going to be mutter, he's still going to be afraid to touch the wine. Amar Rav Ashi Masnisin Amidaika. Yeah, if you look at the Mishnah carefully, you'll see it seems this way from the Mishnah. Ditzman. Hamitari Yenosh Lovit Chavim. Not our Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Samachalav, and tomorrow's Daf. Mitari Yenosh Lovit Chavim. A Jew who's pressing down grapes that belong to a guy to make kosher wine in order to sell it to another Jew, and he has not yet paid the guy until he's going to wait till he gets paid after he sells it. Vinoso Bereshuso, and until he sells it, the Jew gives it, puts it in the rishus of the guy. And the guy writes in a shtar that it's as if I already got paid for it. I'm not stopping you from taking this wine out of my rishus whenever you want. So mutter, that wine is going to be mutter because the guy is not going to stop the Jew from taking the wine whenever he wants. It's as if he's already paid for it. It's as if it's yeno shel Yisrael. Avam yitzi Yisrael lotzio. But if when the Jew wants to take the wine from the guy, and the guy's going to hold him up and say, no, not till you pay for it, you're not taking any wine, then that's going to be asru, because that's considered that there's a milva al oso yayin, not just stam a milva al oso yayin on that wine. And in such a case, the guy is not going to be afraid to touch it. What you see is that the only time the wine is going to be usher is if the guy would not let him take it without paying for it. But if he would let him take it, then it's going to be mutter. So you see very clearly that the only time it's going to be usher is when the milva is al oso yayin. That's where the guy is going to there's going to be a concern that the guy will not hesitate to touch it. Nafal barva Allah. Then we discussed the case, the guy falls into a bar of Yayin, and he comes out of the bar, so the Chum said, yeah, you could sell the wine, it's mutter ba'na. Amra papalo shanu ela sha'ala mace. That's only if he drowned in there, and you brought him out mace, you brought him out dead, because when he fell in, it was shalom b'kavana. When he came out, it was certainly shalom b'kavana. He was dead, so that's not considered negia at all. Aval Allah chai, but if he came out alive from the bar, then asr, then the wine is going to be asr. My taima. What's the reason if he comes out alive that it's going to be asur? Amrath Papa, the dummy alay kiyom idam. It's considered like a holiday because he was saved from Sakana's mothers. So he's going to be molded to the Avodah Zarah on being saved. So minastam, he was menasech the wine on his way out of the bar. So that's the difference if he was alachai or alameis. So an interesting discussion in the Pnine Halacha section of the Masifta over here. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, there's a minag to be shofech all the mayim she'uvim in a neighborhood where someone dies. And the Shach gives two reasons for the minhag. One is because by pouring out the water, everyone's going to know about the mace. In general, we try not to say explicitly, such and such a person died. We try not to spread bad news explicitly, but we do it. B'derech remiza, you know, if you know that somebody was sick, sometimes, you know, you get the call and they'll just say, Baruch Dayana MS. Instead of saying so and so died, you know, they just Bederek Remiza. So the way to do it, Bederek Remiza, is to pour the water out. Everyone's going to realize that someone died. Motzi Dibu Huksil. And by pouring the water out, everyone's going to know what happened. The second reason the Shach says is because the Malach Hamavis is Matil Tipas Dam Hamavis in the water in the neighborhood. So the water in the neighborhood becomes a Sakana. It becomes dangerous because the Malach Hamavis is Matil Tipas. Us down. Right? A person has to know. Nowadays we don't do this anymore because we have pipes and whatever, so I don't think we take our Poland Spring bottles and pour them out, but there are certain behaviors a person has to know when someone died. That was just the other night. I have a Talmud who's a grandson of Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichrono Livracha's Yibadal Chaim wife. Rabbi Pelkovitz was married for the last 30 years to not his initial Rebbetzin, his first Rebbetzin died, so the families became very, very close, and this Talmud was like was always with Rabbi Pelkovitz, and he was texting me. He didn't say why, he just said, what do you do when you're there b'shas yitzias neshama? Do I tear kriya? Do I open a window? Is there anything that you do when you're there b'shas yitzias neshama? As it happens, just on the other line, I'm getting phone calls, I need to get in touch with Dr. Pelkovitz, I have this problem, I need to get, because that's keseder, the world needs Dr. Pelkovitz. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what are we going to do without Dr. Pelkovitz while he's sitting shiva? But anyway, when someone dies, there's a protocol of what to do. So part of that protocol, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is pouring out all the water. So there is a discussion in the poskim. And what if a guy dies in the house? Do you also have to pour out all the water? So the Birkei Yosef says, even by a guy that dies, there's the tip of the Malach HaMaves, and he brings a raya. He brings a raya from our sugya that you don't have to be choshesh, that's incorrect. Because the Gemara discusses, he falls into the bar of Yayin, and if he comes out dead, then it's okay, then you could drink the wine. What about the tip of the Malach HaMavas that's in the bar of Yayin? Meaning if a guy dies, you got to imagine, if he died in the bar, that there's going to be the tip of the Malach HaMavas. So Elamai, it must be that when a guy dies, we're not so concerned about the tip of the Malach HaMavas. That only happens, apparently, when a Jew dies. Okay, I wanted to get to the Mishnah. We didn't, but we'll try to catch up tomorrow.